This program is brought to you with support from the U.S. EPA. We're here to present the EFC Network podcast. The Environmental Finance Center Network is a partnership of 12 centers serving 10 EPA regions. The EFCN provides training and technical assistance to small water and wastewater systems. This podcast series has been designed to help system personnel improve technical, managerial, and financial capacity of the utilities and communities they serve.
In December of 2022, the city of Buffalo experienced one of the worst blizzard events of the last century, characterized by prolonged periods of low temperatures, strong winds, and heavy snow. My name is Maya Bonney, and I am a communications intern for the Syracuse University Environmental Finance Center, and I sat down with Rosie B. Noble, the principal sanitary engineer for the Buffalo Sewer Authority, to talk about the treatment facility's experience during the storm and what we can learn from their experience. Welcome, Rosie. Thank you for joining us today. Please tell us a little bit about you and how long you've been working at the Buffalo Sewer Authority.
I'm principal sanitary engineer here. I am a licensed engineer in New York State and several other states. And I have over 15 years of experience in the wastewater field, exclusively working in the government sector. I have been with Buffalo Sewer since 2014, so 9 years now. And previous to that, I also worked as a municipal engineer with Erie County Sewers. And in my role here at Buffalo Sewer, I primarily oversee the collection system and its capital projects and long-term planning.
All right, thank you. So in this past December of 2022, Buffalo experienced the third snowiest December on record with a final snowfall total of 64.7 inches. Two major snow events occurred from December 16th through 18th and December 23rd through the 27th. And it's also referred to as the blizzard of 2022. So as you know, Buffalo is pretty used to intense snow and blizzards, but the most recent storm this past Christmas was different. So Rosie, what were you expecting to see based on the weather forecast, and what do you typically experience at the Buffalo Sewer Authority during winter storms?
So typically in Buffalo, we experience wind frequently, but we experience wind typically in the sub 35 mile per hour range, coming as direct across Lake Erie, and blowing lake snows into the city of Buffalo. We also, as much as we do have a reputation for snow, we actually do not have very frequent high intensity snow events. We typically do accumulate significant snowfall over the season, but within the city limits itself, having intense snow accumulation in that is fairly rare. In addition, the city of Buffalo is highly influenced weather-wise by seiche events, in which winds blow over Lake Erie before the lake freezes and cause significant differentials between one of the lake and the other, sometimes over 15 feet in differential between the two ends of the lake. And typically we will see those type of events between October and December. Throughout the fall months, those are the times when we most frequently see seiche events. And in part because the level of the Lake Erie has been elevated in recent years above historic norms, we have seen some of the highest seiche events on record over the past 5 years. And they've been recorded at the Coast Guard station at the end of Lake Erie, where it meets the Buffalo River. And there's been a Coast Guard station recording there since the Civil War. And some of the four highest events over that period have been in the past 4 years. So that is typically what we see. Typically, Intense snow events occur in the south towns. Occasionally, intense snow events will occur in the north towns. Very rarely does the city of Buffalo itself see intense snow events. Leading up to the storm, in the days leading up to it, there was an expectation that the snow would fall again in those more traditional bands, primarily in the south, but then with some bands shifting north for significant periods of time. But the initial calls were not for it to stay over the city of Buffalo. And initially we were anticipating on the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before, we were anticipating that there would be some wind involvement, but by Wednesday, we went from expecting high winds and lakeshore flood watches with those Seiche events to the expectation of 65 mile an hour winds and whiteout conditions for extended periods of time. And then by Thursday is when we really started to get the understanding of this being a once in a generation blizzard event, where a blizzard is just 35 mile an hour plus winds for 3+ hours. We had over 30 hours, actually we had 40 hours of winds topping out over 70 miles an hour, which are hurricane force winds, with continuous snowfall throughout. And so we had continuous whiteout conditions for 40 hours straight, which meant that not only were normal residents unable to leave their homes, but also that even first responders could not get out because the winds and the whiteout conditions were so intense. And we did see fluctuations on December 23rd, we did see that Seiche event come in, and for 8 hours, we had a differential from normal levels to during that period of up to 10 feet. So the river level in the city of Buffalo changed 10 feet over the course for 8 hours straight. It was 10 feet higher than it normally is. And so we were dealing with flooding issues at the same time we were dealing with high winds and whiteout conditions.
As you stated that the storm was a Seiche event, how do these more intense events impact the different neighborhoods in Buffalo?
So it depends on which specific neighborhood you're talking about, how they are impacted differently. There are two neighborhoods in particular along the Buffalo River that experience the majority of the impacts from Seiche events. There is the Old First Ward neighborhood, which tends to experience overbank flooding, in which the level of the river rises and comes up over the banks and floods the low-lying neighborhood that is the Old First Ward. And that is well documented and shows up very obviously on FEMA flood mapping. In an adjoining neighborhood that is known as the Valley, what occurs is that the combined sewer system and the storm sewer systems are below the level of the road where sewers are and discharge directly to the Buffalo River. The banks in the vicinity of the valley are actually higher than the roads in the valley itself. And so what occurs is that the banks will hold the water in the Buffalo River during a Seiche event, but the storm sewer and the combined sewer will allow flows to backflow into the neighborhood. And then because the roads behind the bank are lower, there will be both basement flooding and even in some cases street flooding as the level of the river rises and pushes the water up into the neighborhood. There are other neighborhoods throughout the city that have combined sewer overflow points, and they might experience similar conditions, especially with a 10-foot sesh event, but it is much less frequent than in those two specific neighborhoods. The other condition that we will also see is similar to the valley. There are several viaducts throughout the city that the sewer was laid in the 1880s and 1890s. And in the early 20th century, the road was relaid lower than it was originally laid at to eliminate conflicts between at-grade railroad tracks and roads. And so that the trains go over top on bridges and the roads go beneath in these viaducts. Because the sewer came first, when the sewer surcharges, it now surcharges into the viaduct during these sesh events rather than surcharging, but surcharging below the level of the road. And so we'll also see that sort of event occur in this case, that the viaducts will flood out.
As the storm was approaching, knowing its tendencies to flood and bring along high winds, how do you prepare, or what do you prepare for?
We tend to prepare for, out in the collection system, we prepare for making sure that all of the drains are cleared out as best as we can get them, so that when the sesh event subsides, everything can drain out and water does not stay above level. In some cases, we will sandbag to contain the waters, in knowing that we might run into issues. At the treatment facility, they will make sure that they've got everything ready to turn all the pumps that they can on at the same time and make sure that there is sufficient staffing to run the full facility. There's also the issue of making sure that there's plow drivers scheduled, and just making sure we're going to be able to operate as efficiently as we can.
And to go along with that, how did different storm authorities respond so that impacts could be minimized as possible?
Throughout the storm, Buffalo Sewer maintained full staffing, and folks actually stayed at the treatment facility for well beyond the ends of their shifts, that they were actually awarded overtime to sleep at the facility rather than going home. And throughout the event, different places that are known at the facility to face flood issues due to underground hydrological forces, those areas were closely monitored and pumps were staged properly so that pump around operations could occur. At a certain point, keeping as many pumps running was the only thing that could be done because you couldn't see. Being out in that storm was deadly.
I can imagine. I mean, hearing everything and seeing the news, it was just incredible what was going on. And I can't imagine being a first responder or someone who was behind the front lines of the storm. Following the storm, what were the major impacts and what kind of damage resulted?
Throughout the city, power was out for extended periods of time throughout much of the city. So on the more domestic sphere, that there were people who lost power and were not able to survive the storm because of the loss of power. But as far as the infrastructure of Buffalo Sewer Authority goes, once the storm subsided, it was a matter of clearing snow out of the way so that new crews could get in, that people that had been on the clock for 24, 48, 72 hours straight could go home and be replaced. But then it was also changing out pieces of equipment that were never designed to take 70 mile an hour winds and were turned into sails, and that there were different metal pieces that ended up being twisted in the storm. And so repairing those at the facility. And then out throughout the city of Buffalo, the first thing that needed to happen for life to resume was that the roads needed to be cleared. And this meant the plows were trying to find where the roads went, because the type of wind blowing together with the snow meant that in some locations you had green grass on one side of the street and you would have 10 to 20 foot piles of snow that had been blown by the wind on the other side of the street. And so the plows were trying to find the curb lines in order to plow properly. And in some cases, and in actually many cases, they ended up damaging the storm infrastructure in the process, where the intakes would be picked up by the plows and moved. And so there were several weeks of going back and putting grates back where they go, putting inlets back where they go, making sure that there weren't safety hazards being created, and understanding that the plow drivers were doing the best they could, but they couldn't find the curb lines with the amount of snow that was out there. And it wasn't just plows, it was high lifts picking up the snow, because the plows couldn't even plow 10, 20 feet of snow.
Did you notice a difference between wastewater facilities in the north towns and the south towns, and were they damaged or affected differently? Did you notice anything major?
So talking with our colleagues at other treatment facilities, Buffalo by far faced the worst of it. And that's consistent with all of the weather mapping that occurred with this storm. Buffalo experienced a blizzard. The surrounding municipalities experienced a storm. We had whiteout conditions for 40 hours straight. The other municipalities around us experienced some lake effect snow, or they may have experienced some wind, but they did not experience the wind in conjunction with the snow at the same time. And that timing element was huge, because it meant the difference between being able to go out and plow and not be able to see in front your hand in front of your face.
And how did the Buffalo Sewer Authority move forward after the event passed?
We continued operations as normal. Within a week, we were back to normal operations. Sewer maintenance continues to receive some reports here and there of displaced infrastructure and continues to make those repairs. But the treatment facility itself, basically, it was a matter of taking log of what damage had occurred and repairing things by priority. It was an intense storm event. Our crews did a phenomenal job of staying on the clock throughout, eliminating what hazards they could and maintaining treatment in the city of Buffalo and for outlying districts throughout the length of the storm, and then continuing to operate afterwards.
So Rosie, overall, what did the Buffalo Water and Sewer Authority learn from the storm? Or is there anything that this specific storm taught you? Or is there anything that you took away from it?
For Buffalo Sewer, our main takeaway is that moving forward, we need to have resources available for our employees on site, cots, long shelf stabilized food and beverages, so that they can stay on site and have everything that they need at the Bird Island Treatment Facility. Additionally, we have also started to reevaluate our communications internal, make sure that there's more streamlined communications. In this case, we had a text message chain going, making sure that that's more formalized and that it's documented who needs to know what. But overall, we came through the storm pretty well as Buffalo Sewer Authority. There's always room for improvement. There's always lessons learned. But overall, our staff did a phenomenal job throughout the storm.
It's so important to talk about how these severe weather events can have such a major influence on wastewater operations and our emergent responses to them. This has been such a great conversation, and I thank you, Rosie, for sharing your experience and expertise with us. And I thank you and everyone else for tuning in.
Thank you to all our listeners for tuning into this episode of the EFC Network Podcast, brought to you with support from the US EPA. Be sure to stay tuned for future EFC Network podcast episodes.